National leaders are recognizing Detroit's food movement. Last week, it was announced the federal government's providing $150,000 to support local food cultivation in the Detroit area. The money will mainly go to urban farmers in the city to help fund infrastructure for growing crops. Detroit really has become a hub for urban farming, but the city is also home to a host of hidden and amazing restaurants and bars. So let's take a tour of some of these places with writer Bill Loomis. His book is Detroit Food, Coney Dogs to Farmers Markets. So when I say the words Detroit food, you say?
What I've kind of concluded talking to people is it's a warm feeling of slow-cooked food, not exotic, pot roasts and veal shoulders. But there's also other influences, like soul food has become a big thing. Jewish food, corned beef, some of the best in the United States comes in. Ethnic influences like Greek, Polish, of course, Ukrainian, Hungarian foods. And then also another aspect that's been kind of dismissed lately or forgotten a little bit is Great Lakes fish. If you look at old menus from places in Detroit, fried perch, smelt, lake trout,
wonderful
walleye,
whitefish.
Whitefish, yeah. Absolutely. Those are all part of Detroit food.
You really give us a real good sense in your book, Detroit Food, Coney Dogs to Farmers Markets, of the people behind Detroit food, the chefs and the bakers and entrepreneurs and urban farmers. And what do these folks have in common?
That's a good question. They're coming from all over. It's not just Detroiters. You meet people from Arizona. There's quite a contingent of people from Toronto and Canada. Usually, the advantage of food is that it doesn't take a lot of money to get started into food. So that, from a practical standpoint, a lot of people are drawn to Detroit because they can have a restaurant for about a tenth the cost that it would be to open one in Toronto or New York or something like that.
Or probably even the suburbs of
In
Southeast Michigan.
Yeah.
Like yeah.
But these are people that are also very mission-driven. These are not people that are going to open a Dairy Queen in Troy. They see this as a much deeper activity than just making pickles. This is a mission, like I say. They're in sometimes what I considered fairly sketchy neighborhoods.
And do the customers come anyway?
They do. A lot of people, let's say the Woodbridge Pub or some of the places in Corktown, they get most, if not many, of the people are from the neighborhood. They're neighborhood people. But they get a lot of people, more and more people coming in from outside of Detroit. If you go to some of these neighborhood places, you see people in suits. You see people in medical,
scrubs
and things like that. All kinds of people are coming in.
Well, Bill, you show really clearly about how much the efforts of one restaurant owner can matter to a neighborhood, a real ripple effect. And I'd like, if you would, to ask you to read to us from your book, Detroit Food. And this excerpt is about Jim Geary, who had been in Ann Arbor and felt something was lacking, right? And he came to Detroit in late 2006, and he bought a crummy rundown building at Trumbull and Merrick Streets and transformed it into the highly successful Woodbridge Pub.
Yeah, that's right. And he came from a farm originally. He's a farm boy who came into the city. But yeah, let me read this section. Early on in the pub project, Jim realized the importance of the neighborhood to its success. As he said, you cannot operate a business in a crime-ridden, litter-strewn setting. The city offered nothing, so he took it on himself. Who's going to do this? He asked himself. I learned that the best help I could offer Detroit was to take care of my little corner myself. I'd take care of my street. He began by keeping the sidewalk at the pub clean from litter. He mowed the vacant lot across the street, eventually buying it to keep it cleaned. Soon others in the neighborhood turned it into a community garden. Jim shovels the snow, not just at the restaurant, but throughout the neighborhood as well. His restaurant staff members, who know Jim's commitment, go down the streets trimming trees of overhanging branches. We take pride where we live. It's not gentrification, he added. The recession in the mid-2000s was actually a good thing. The neighborhood has a long history of diversification, economic and racial. While once an elite area, the home of Ty Cobb and George Booth and others, it fell into neglect during the Depression and many homes were subdivided for workers, later for Wayne State University students. The recession of 2000 slowed down the money that dries up home prices and drives many people out of the area. This didn't happen. While the restaurant is a success, Jim continues to rehab houses. Bringing to life the neighborhood is a personal mission. It drives him. The crime problem has improved, but the fear of crime is a suburban mindset, Jim claimed. While there is crime, he and others don't think it's continual. You know, there are neighborhoods that are crime-ridden, but that doesn't mean all neighborhoods are crime-ridden. If something happens to people in the suburbs, they ask, why did this happen to me? Whereas people living in the city typically think, why was I so dumb to allow this to happen? Jim sees no need to expand, but he would like to see others open up on Trumbull. With his drive, they will.
And you say you heard this kind of thing over and over again. So yeah, they're like a, yes, like a catalyst planted in the neighborhoods.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so much so that I had to sort of change tack because I kept repeating the same story. It's very similar. Many of the people are college educated. They come from very different backgrounds. But mostly they, like I say, they come from college background and were somehow just didn't feel satisfied with what path they were on. And this is what they've chosen.
Well, I have to say, besides getting a real good sense of the history of food, such as finding out why Detroit has Coney Islands and no one else does, that's in your book, Farmers Markets. But you also give us a lot of good ideas when we're sitting around going, what are we going to do Saturday night? A lot of options. Go to Cliff Bell's, go to Sugar House, and start exploring some of these wonderful old buildings.
Oh, yeah. It's not just the restaurant. It's the place that they're in. There's so many places. And a lot of the reason I wrote the book was I meet a lot of people in the suburbs or outside of Detroit who really don't know anything about Detroit other than maybe the Art Museum and the Tiger Stadium or Comerica Park.
It's all right. Some of us still say Hudson's.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. So in some ways it was to acquaint them with some of the activities down there, these new bars that are so much fun and just beautiful.
It's a great read and a good resource, as we said, for exploring Detroit and kind of eating your way around the Motor City. Writer Bill Loomis, his new book is Detroit Food, Coney Dogs to Farmers Markets. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Cindy.